I appreciate the invitation to be here this afternoon. And yeah, Dennis, we claim you and Peggy to be family. And of course, one reason for that is when you have small families, you take anything you can get. So, you know, some of us don't have a very large family, but we are very, very thankful that Brittany is part of our family and Dennis and Peggy as well. And all that came about through church camp. When Elizabethtown started going to camp with us about 13 years ago, is when Brittany and Smith first met for the very first time, and ironically, they got married at church camp. So that was blessings that take place through Christian camping. It is good to be here this afternoon. The topic I've been given this afternoon is that we are to show priority by refraining from sin. I want to share with you a true story that happened in 1988. Laura was a young lady that lived in central Brazil. She sold Avon products to help support her family and attended a small congregation there in central Brazil. And one day she was talking to her preacher and she asked the preacher a question, said, "Is it okay if I was to give a Bible to a prostitute?" And the preacher said, "Why, certainly." And she said, "Well, part of the area, part of my territory that I deliver and sell Avon to is in the red light district. And there are several ladies of the evening that are there." And so as she would deliver the Avon products, she started putting tracts and Bibles and Christian literature in with the Avon orders. And it wasn't too awful long until they set up a Bible study. And there were 10 of these ladies that were in this house in central Brazil, and they began to have Bible studies on a regular basis. And then things kind of fell apart, and they didn't meet for a while. And then in 1988, when they had tremendous rains there in Brazil, lots of flooding, there were several people that were killed, and two of the ladies went back and they found that Bible that Laura had given to them. And they decided that they were going to read it. And they read it sort of like an Agatha Christie novel. You know, they started in the book of Revelation and were going to read backwards because they wanted to find out who did it. And they read Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8, that says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And one of the girls looked at her friend and she said, "We're lost. We're lost." And the other girl said, "No, you're lost, but I'm not, because I repent every day." The next time that Laura came by with their deliveries, they pulled her to the side and they said, "Read this passage and tell us what it says." And Laura said, "It means that when you practice and live in this sinful situation, that heaven will not be your home." And the girl cried out, "I told you, we're lost, we're lost." And the other girl said, "I told you, you're lost. I'm not, because I repent every day." And Laura began at that point. And she said, "I want to tell you about repentance." She said, "Repentance is when you confess your wrongdoings and completely turn around." And she looked at the girl that said, "You're lost, I'm okay." She said, "You haven't repented. You feel guilty for your sins, but you have not repented." 3 or 4 weeks passed by. And when Laura came back that way again, those two girls had moved home. And they had left a note there for them to hand to Laura when she came and to tell her that we've decided that we want to change our life. And we've moved back home. They had both been baptized and were attending a congregation in another little town about 40 miles from where they were. A true story. And today, when we talk about what it means to refrain from sin, when we want to make it a priority in our life that we refrain from sin, I want us to turn to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and the people came to him and sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? This they had said to him to test him, that they might have charge to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. From now on, sin no more. Early in the morning, Jesus was teaching to a crowd at the temple, but not everyone was ready to hear. You see, there was a group of the Pharisees that were looking for every opportunity that they could find to trap Jesus. They wanted to find some way to get rid of him. They wanted to find some way for him to be gone. They didn't like it that everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. Jesus was teaching. When he was interrupted by a group of folks, when these Pharisees and the scribes and those, the religious elite, when they drug a woman in, and they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say we should do with her? They wanted to know what Jesus was going to say. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this woman that has been brought before the group, this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, this woman that was guilty, she couldn't deny it. She had sin in her life. But they were quick to point out that she was the one with sin, and they were the ones that were solving all the problems. They wanted to test him. And they said, in the law, Moses said that we ought to stone this woman. What do you say? Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 22. Is the passage that they went back to be able to say that we are to stone this woman. But if you read Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22, it doesn't say stone the woman, let the man go free. You see, they forgot. The act of adultery involved two. They brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. And they wanted to find out what Jesus would say and how he would answer this question and what he would say to do. They kept pushing that question. And Jesus said, when you look at your life, when you think about your situation, he said, those of you that are without sin, you can cast the first stone. One by one they left. They realized what Jesus was saying. They got the point. And they walked away and left the woman standing there with Jesus. And Jesus said, Where are those that have accused you? He said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul said, For while we were still helpless, while we were weak, while we were sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We all know John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to be able to go to the cross so that because of the death of his Son on the cross, that we can have hope. Forgiveness can be available if we will believe, if we will repent, if we will confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized and raised to walk in a new way of life. And when we're baptized, the question we have to ask is, what is the responsibility since we are now a saved sinner? Well, that answer to that question is the same as it was for the woman in the story. You see, Jesus said, go and sin no more. He said, don't just be sorry that you got caught. He said, don't just kind of let it go and just go right back to doing what you've always done. He said, you've got to make some changes. You have to sin no more. She was caught in the very act of adultery, and his response was that your lifestyle's got to change. And what Jesus was telling us was that sinful activities require forgiveness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul said, brethren, even if a man is caught in a trespass, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know, Mama always said that when you point your finger at somebody else, there's always three pointing back at you. Jesus said, you've got to take a long, hard look at yourself. He told the Pharisees, he told the scribes when they brought this woman in, he knelt down and he wrote on the ground, and we don't know what he wrote, but his response to them was, you know the law. You know what Scripture says. You know what God requires. And if you are without sin, if those three fingers pointing back are clear, then you that are spiritual need to restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Jesus said, don't stone her. Help her. Bring her back to where she needs to be. That statement that Jesus made. Go and sin no more. It's the same statement that he made in John chapter 5. And when you look in John chapter 5, there was a man that had had an infirmity for 38 years. He was taken to the pool there at Bethsaida. And every time that the angels would stir the water, if somebody that had an infirmity could be placed into the water, they would be healed. And when Jesus walked up to the man, he said, do you want to be healed? And he said, of course I do, but I can't get in the water. I have nobody to place me in the water. And Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. He made him whole. And then the question, he was walking around and people saw him and they said, how did you end up being able to walk? And he said, Jesus. And when Jesus saw him in the temple, he made that statement to him and he said, go and sin no more because something worse could happen to you. See, Jesus was telling this man, you're getting a second chance. For 38 years, he wasn't able to walk. For 38 years, he was laid at the pool. For 38 years, he had an infirmity that kept him from being healthy. Jesus said, you're healed. You have a second chance. But go and sin no more. Stop living a life that's not acceptable in God's sight. Change what you're doing. You have to repent. Because if you neglect your soul, there's something worse that's waiting for you. In John chapter 8 and John chapter 5, with the woman and the man, Jesus didn't say that I am giving you absolute forgiveness and you don't have anything to worry about. He's not giving them a rubber stamp into heaven. He was not giving them a blanket forgiveness that they would never, ever, ever sin again. He said, you have to refrain from sin. You've got to change your lifestyle. You have to give it dedication. You have to make a change. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, Paul recorded exactly what Jesus was talking about. And Peter said, for if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then become entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Peter said, if you have been converted, if you have received the blessings through baptism and the forgiveness of sins, if you have received that knowledge and if you have become a child of God, and then you fall back right into what you were before, the end is worse than the beginning. He goes on to say, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness at all, that having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered them, but it happened according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Repent of what you've done wrong. Change your lifestyle so that something worse doesn't happen. And every time I read that passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, I think back to my days when I was in 4-H. And I had a project that I raised hogs. And every year, what they did in your 4-H project, they gave you a gilt to get you started in the pig business. And every year that you were in the project, you had to bring 2 gilts back to give to somebody else. And so they had a fall festival every year, and we had to get our pigs cleaned and ready and take them to town. And they had to be in their little pen, and they were handed out to those that were going to be new 4-H members in the hog project. And I scrubbed my pigs. And I had them clean. And they were white and they looked good. So I went in the house to get me ready to take my pigs to town. Well, you can understand. You've read 2 Peter chapter 2 as well. It doesn't take 5 minutes for a hog that's clean to jump right back where they were before. And they were worse the second time. It's harder to get it off the second time than it was the first time. And Peter said, we've got to recognize what sin really is. That young lady in the first illustration said, I repent every day. No, she didn't. Because she was involved in the same activities that day that she was the day before and she would the day after. And she thought that everything was okay. But the mud hole she jumped right back into is just like it was to start with, because sin damages our relationship with God. And sin destroys our lives and causes emotional and financial and physical and spiritual and psychological harm. Sin is a wedge that separates us from God. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and he told everybody there in Acts chapter 2 that you have crucified the Son of God. It is because of what you have done that the Son of God has gone to the cross. And they said, what shall we do? In verse 37. And then in verse 38, Peter said, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And there were 3,000 that day that said, that's what we want to do. We want to change our life. We want to be on track. We want to be where we need to be. We want to be forgiven. They wanted to be Christ-like. We have the same opportunity today. All of us have the opportunity to give ourselves to Jesus and be baptized and have our sins washed away. And then Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we can be faithful unto death. This lady that Jesus talked to. And he said, if you're without sin, you can cast the first stone. How do you think she felt? A woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. Somebody that was condemned and the sentence under the old law was death. And Jesus said, you've got another chance. Stop what you're doing. Change your way of thinking. Change your lifestyle. Do something different. In John chapter 5, the man that was at the pool, Jesus said, you have an opportunity. For 38 years, he had been sitting by the pool waiting for somebody to put him in the water. For 38 years, he had not lived up to his potential. For 38 years, he wasn't what he needed to be. And Jesus said, you have a new opportunity. You have a possibility of doing something special with your life. For the past 38 years, you couldn't, but today you can. And today you can tell everybody who made you whole. Today is the first day for the rest of his life. You see, the statement that Jesus made was go and sin no more. And all of us today, as children of God, When we made a decision to become a child of God, when we made a decision to be baptized and have our sins washed away, it was at that very moment that we made a commitment. We signed a contract, as it were, a contract that lasts from now until eternity, a contract that has us as a child of God from now on. We have been adopted. We have been accepted by God as His child. The unique thing about adoption. If you have a biological child, you have the right to give away your child. You can let your child be in somebody else's guardianship. You can let somebody else care for your child. You can let somebody else take care of your child, and you can relinquish all of your responsibility to your biological child. But do you realize that if you adopt a child, if you go through the court proceedings and say, "I want to adopt this baby," you can never, ever give it up. Adoption is permanent. You can give up your biological children, but if you adopt a child, you cannot get rid of that responsibility. It is yours. God said, "I want you, and I want him, and I want them to be my child," and he never wants to give us up. But Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Change your life. When we are adopted as a child, when we are brought into the fold of God, He is our shepherd, we are His sheep. We look back at Romans chapter 12 that we talked about in the last hour, that we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that transformation of our mind tells us what repentance really is. Paul said, "The thief that stole will steal no more." And you remember in 1 Corinthians when Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, he said, there's been sexual immorality. There's been all types of problems and things that have gone on in the church. And he said, "And such were some of you." The problem is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. Paul said these problems, even they existed in the church, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been justified and sanctified. We have been cleansed. We have been made whole. The cross and the blood of Jesus was for us. He died for me, and He died for you. And this afternoon, if we are convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus died for me, then we're going to want to transform our lives. And that transformation means that we are going to learn what God's will is for my life and what God's will is for yours. It involves the study of God's Word. We're told in Scripture that we need to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks us for the hope that lies within us. What is that hope? That hope is the blood of Jesus Christ that was given on our behalf. That hope is heaven. That hope is the church. That hope is the fact that we can get away from our old life and be involved in a new way of life. It's the transformation of our minds that Paul mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. And if we truly believe that Jesus died for me, and if you truly believe that He died for you, refraining from sin is going to be something that we're going to think about every day. Refraining from sin is going to be something that we are going to focus on every morning when we get up and every night when we go to bed. Our prayer will be, "Lord, help me to be the servant that you would have me to be. Help me to be the person that you want me to be. Help me to be the example that you want me to be." Jesus said we are to be the light of the world. All through school, when our boys were growing up, we always went to Mammoth Cave on field trips. And whenever you would gather in Mammoth Cave, they would take you into the giant room, and they would turn out all the lights. And when they turn out all the lights, the old adage that you couldn't see a hand in front of your face is true, because there is absolute darkness in the cave. And then the ranger would take a cigarette lighter and he would strike a flame, a small flame. But it was a flame that in a room this size in the cave, 300 feet below ground, it didn't take but just a minute. As he would hold that cigarette lighter, it didn't take but just a minute that you could see every face in the room from one small flame. Jesus said, Mark, you're the light of the world. Dennis, you're the light of the world. And he said, don't take your flame and put it under a bushel basket. Hold it out so that all the world can see. And we sing a song with our kids, this little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And don't let Satan blow it out. And we're all around the neighborhood, events like what you're doing today, to share that light with the community. And we may think at times that we're just a small flicker, but a small light can fill up a vast darkness with the influence that it has. Jesus said, go and sin no more. He wanted everybody to understand. All sin can be forgiven. He wanted it to be understood that we needed to look at redeeming those that are lost and not stoning them to death. He wanted us to understand that we have a responsibility. It's our reasonable service. And this afternoon, those words, go and sin no more, need to inspire all of us to make sure that we follow Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Because when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, he said, your responsibility is that you need to go into all the world and you need to make disciples, make believers. You need to tell them the story of what happened. And this man in John 5 that was unable to walk for 38 years, when the Great Commission was given, he would go out and say, you remember me? I was the guy for 38 years that couldn't walk. I was the guy for 38 years that couldn't get in the pool. I've been given an opportunity. You remember Lazarus? How do you think the crowds of people felt when Lazarus stood up and he said, he didn't have to say anything much. He just said, my name is Lazarus. Lazarus is the one that Jesus raised from the dead. It was hard to deny the man that had been dead for 4 days and now stood before people and he said, because of Jesus, my name is Lazarus. You see, we all have an opportunity today because of Jesus Christ. And we are to go make believers. We are to tell our story. And we're to be able to share that with everybody and say, Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life. And then we baptize them. And then we continue to teach them. And we continue to work with them. And our learning is a never-ending process. And this afternoon, if we're going to refrain from sin, we have to remember the words when Jesus said, go and sin no more. And this afternoon, if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come while Dennis leads us.